Get Ready for Success. Leadership Strategies for Women is a show dedicated to providing practical and valuable strategies for emerging women leaders of today. It's your time to get inspired, motivated, and challenged to achieve your vision for success. And now, here's leadership speaker and coach, Ellie Nieves.
This is the Leadership Strategies for Women podcast, and I am your host, Ellie Nieves. I'm the founder and president of Leadership Strategies for Women, where I develop seminars, webinars, and coaching programs to help high-achieving women show up, speak up, and step up in their careers. To learn more, please visit my website at leadershipstrategiesforwomen.com, or you can follow the Leadership Strategies for Women page on Facebook. Our guest today is Jean Haynes. Jean is a career and leadership speaker, trainer, and coach. Her core focus is supporting ambitious professional women who are ready to amplify their confidence so they can achieve their greatest success and happiness. Jean's career spans corporate, nonprofit, and entrepreneurial sectors and includes experience in consulting, marketing, and fund development. Jean, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Ellie. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here today.
So I'm excited to be chatting with you for the next several minutes, and I know that our listeners are going to really enjoy what you have to share with us today.
Well, thank you.
So, Jean, let's start off by learning a little bit more about you. Can you share a little bit about your background?
Yes, I can. I grew up in the Connecticut, New Jersey area, so I'm from the tri-state New York area. And as a kid, I was part of a large family, one of seven. And some of the values that were really important in our family were education, being the best that you could be, and also giving back. So those were three themes that were part of our family culture, if you will. I went to Catholic school all the way through college, so that was also a big piece of my belief systems and the values that I live by. And early in my career, it was kind of funny, I ended up being an English major, and my first job was at a big financial firm in New York City, so it wasn't the perfect fit, and that led me to explore different careers and eventually to get into the leadership field.
Wonderful. And how did you develop an expertise in women's leadership in particular?
Well, it's curious, when I look back, and I didn't realize it at the time, I went to an all-girls high school. Mm-hmm. And I think that experience was that foundation of seeing that women were leaders, and they could be very successful as leaders. And as I moved forward through my career, I noticed for myself, I was a bit of the good girl, and maybe that's partly traceable back to my Catholic education and being, you know, doing the right thing. And I noticed that women, including myself, and I started with myself, really, was why are some things difficult for me? Why is it hard for me to talk about myself or to put myself forward? Why does that feel so uncomfortable? And if I take care of everybody and I work really hard, I'm naturally going to get promoted. That's just going to happen for me. And so looking at those themes for myself and then noticing with other women, I wasn't the only one. This was a pattern. And so that led me into, I had a master's in marketing, and my career path had been in advertising. And that was really about consumers and how they think and how people behave. And I noticed this pattern, and I went into sales, and it was the same thing. What do people really want, and you know, what motivates them? And I became intrigued by this. And then later in the nonprofit world, that showed up for donors. Why were they philanthropic? What made them behave the way they did? So I became very interested in, I guess, was always that student of human behavior. And then probably about 5 years ago, I felt there's something missing for me in my career. I love what I do. I'm satisfied to a degree, but there's something more for me. And it's kind of a funny story. I went to another fundraising consultant who was very big in the field, and I asked her for advice, and she looked at me and she's like, well, you have so much knowledge, energy, and everything going on, but you don't have your focus. And when she said it, I was like, oh my gosh, like, she thinks I'm a train wreck. She thinks, you know, I'm not focused. And then as I thought about it, she said to me, you know, I have a life coach, and maybe you'd like to speak with her. So at first I took it like, oh, it's criticism. And then I realized she's writing a book. She's only working 4 days a week. She's traveling. She's doing all these amazing things. And so I thought, well, maybe there's something else going on here, and this life coaching piece could be really important. And so I ended up working with her life coach. And through that process, I became fascinated with the whole life coaching process. So I had the classical background in marketing and business and strategy development and organizational assessments, and I could do all those things, but there was this whole other world that talked about how our minds work, how our thoughts could affect our feelings and our actions and how we show up. And I decided I really need to learn this. So I ended up training as a life coach so that I could put together those two pieces, the business side and then that whole mindset piece that is so important. So that was my background. And then with women, I found, because of my own experience and seeing and speaking with so many women who felt they were so talented and they had great jobs and everything was great on the surface from the outside, but on the inside, they still struggled with self-doubt and some of the steps you need to take to really rise in the ranks as a leader.
That's such a wonderful testament to life coaching in general, and I know that you also observe this in your own coaching practice, but I love it when I'm coaching a client and they get that aha moment.
Yes.
And they walk away and suddenly it's like, you know, the light bulb goes off and they've got focus, they've got clarity, and they move forward with a sense of purpose. It's incredible.
Well, and I think sometimes it's very hard for us to see it for ourselves. And you know, I laugh because sometimes even as a coach, there'll be times when I get tripped up and I'll call one of my coach buddies for help. And it's so easy. They're like, well, did you think this and this? And I'm like, oh, of course, that's what I do with my clients. But sometimes we can even regress to that point of, oh, yeah, I should be doing, you know, this is something I could do. And it's sometimes easier, I think, from someone from the outside to see it. But the wonderful thing about coaching is that you learn the tools so that you then not just get that aha moment, which is awesome, but you then have some of the tools that you can do that for yourself.
Right. So I really love that you came up with the concept of the inner good girl.
Yes. Yes.
So how can aspiring women leaders break through their inner good girl?
Well, first, to just say, what are some of the characteristics of the good girl and where does it come from? I think many of us, when you look back on, you know, nature, is it nature and nurture, and, you know, why do we behave the way that we do? As women, we were often taught as young girls to play nice, to be polite, to follow the rules. And for many of us, and I see this particularly among high-achieving women, we got all the gold stars. You know, we're the head of the class. We would help everybody else. We had those behaviors that won us approval as kids. And that felt great. Of course, who doesn't like that? But there's a dark side to it, which is taking that forward as an adult and as women, relying on other people for our value, giving that power away to somebody else, or falling into those traps of people-pleasing, of perfection. Perfection is a huge one. If I do it better, work harder, everything's going to work out for me. So we develop some habits oftentimes, and one of the people, it's interesting, this is goes across every spectrum. I was reading Lean In, which you've probably read, by Sheryl Sandberg, and she talks about her first performance review. And Mark Zuckerberg said to her, your desire to be liked by everybody is going to get in your way of achieving the goals that you have set. And she realized, you know, if you please everyone, you're not going to get everything done. You know, you just can't do that. But it was hard for her, despite her brilliance and all her training and all her experience, to move past that, but she obviously has. So it's kind of a fallacy sometimes to think that, you know, this doesn't apply to me. It can apply to any of us. So what I found was, and I see in my practice, is that many women checked all the boxes, they did all the right things, and they get to a point where they're saying, I'm not where I want to be, or I'm not really happy in my job, so what is off for me? And so one of the things that women can do, first of all, I have a quiz that's on my website. It's free. You can just go to jeanhaines.com, and it's right there on the home page. There's a button for the quiz. There's a picture there where you can click on it, and you can take the quiz. And what it does is it helps us realize some of the things that we might be doing that are getting us in our own way. And some of these behaviors are so ingrained in us that it's just our normal MO to react that way. When somebody asks us to do something, we say, of course. And then we get overextended and we're working really long hours and we're getting burnt out. And there might be simmering resentment there. But it's hard for us to say no because we're that nice good girl. So one thing people can do is take the quiz, and it will help illuminate a couple of things that might be happening for you. And then, so awareness is the first step, because if we are not aware, we can't change anything. And then once you're aware of what it is, pick one thing and just say, how is this showing up for me? Where am I doing this, and what is the impact that it's having? And then you can work on specific strategies to turn that around.
Wonderful. And what are some of those strategies that you've actually implemented in your own career to help you get ahead?
Yes. Well, I think for me, one was boundaries has been big. And that was so difficult for me because I wanted everyone to like me. I didn't want to say no. And I got to be that person. I was working weekends. I was taking on other people's work because it was hard for me to say no. And I think just a small example, I became one of those people that was doing a lot of volunteer work. And it seems like a lot of times in organizations, it's the usual suspects, the people that do 90% of the work. And so I would get asked more and more. And I had this feeling like I should be serving, I should be doing this. And it was all these shoulds. And I think should is a word for people to be aware of. When you find yourself saying should a lot, you have to, that's a red flag. That's something to stop and look at and ask yourself, well, why should I do this? Is it something I really want to do? Is it strategic for me? What will happen if I don't do it? And then make a decision from a place of power. And so for me, getting to that, you know, noticing the shoulds, being able to say, thank you so much for thinking of me for this volunteer opportunity. My volunteer plate is full for the year, and I can't take it on right now, but you're terrific, and I'm sure you're going to have a wonderfully successful committee. That sounds so simple, but it was hard for me to do it the first time. So the more you do it, I think it's like a muscle. It gets to be more comfortable. And I think when you have that awareness and you ask yourself a couple of questions to really see if it's something you want to do, it becomes a lot easier. So that definitely helped me personally in my own growth. And in terms of leadership strategies, another big one for me was aligning values and actions. So I would have said, I really value self-care. I know it's important to get enough sleep and to exercise and eat well and really take care of yourself, because that's how you show up at your best. And that's how your when your performance is at its top and you make really good decisions. So saying that was one thing, but then the behavior was, I need to stay late tonight. I have to work over the weekends. I can't take enough all this vacation. And so those two things were in conflict. And so that creates an inner turmoil, you know, kind of a push-pull within you. And when you're feeling that, it's a big distraction. Your energy is going there, and it's not going to help you with your peak performance, to help you be focused on other people, to show up and be at your best. So when there's an inconsistency, it can really throw us out of balance and detract from our performance. And as a leader, if other people see you being inconsistent or they feel they're getting mixed messages, you're not helping them either. So I think it's an important thing for people to know what your values are and then make sure you're acting in alignment with them. And I would say surrounding yourself with really great people is another one that has helped me to find those leaders in my life and to also delegate. And if you are the good girl that grew up thinking, I need to be perfect and I want everything to be just right, sometimes that's a hard one to learn. It's hard to let go and to trust people and to not feel threatened that they might outshine you, to say, I have them here for a reason, and the more they shine, the better it is for everybody. So learning to delegate and find people and show your trust in them and help them develop as leaders. And I think the last one strategy I would say is communication. And this is a big one for so many people. And I'd include listening here. I think a lot of people look at communication as what I'm projecting outwards, but it's also that ability to really listen to people and to give them the opportunity to speak up and to feel that their voice is heard. And to also think about your language. And for women, this can, in particular, men may do this as well, but it's more noticeable with women. They will use language, or we will use language, like I just want to say, and that diminishes our authority and our confidence, or they'll apologize for no reason. Sorry, I have a question, and that one drives me crazy. Or we have the word should, as I mentioned before, I have to. And those things give away our power instead of really owning it and deciding on something and speaking with authority in a way that communicates our confidence and our competence. So those would be some of my top personal things that I have worked on and that have helped me, and I also share with my clients.
So Jean, what role does faith play in your career?
It actually plays a pretty big role, Ellie. I did go to Catholic school, so that's part of where my values came from growing up. And the idea of, I believe there is a God, and I know other people may think of it as the universe or some greater higher power, but for me it's God, and I do pray daily. And I also think that God gave us gifts that we are meant to share and use to create good in the world. And I also think that he is there to support us when we show up and act upon the mission that I believe that each of us has. So that when times are tough, there's some faith that you can rely on, that you can get through this situation and that things are going to ultimately be okay. So that helps me tremendously.
I love that concept of acting and partnering with God, which is kind of the concept that you were sharing there. So I really enjoyed thinking about that concept. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
What are some of your personal goals and aspirations?
I love what I do, and I'm excited and fired up to work with women. But for me, I think the next thing, and I've just started thinking about this, is to think about how to take this to the next generation, to look at how girls are raised today, and sadly, a lot of the same behaviors are showing up. And how can we create a better world for them? What are the tools that they need so that they may not fall into some of the traps that I did or that we did in general, so that they can be the leaders that they are born to be? So I think working with younger people and taking some of this work to that area would be something very exciting for me.
And what's next for you personally?
Over the last year, I have made an effort to do more speaking, to get out in front of more people. And I was a shy kid growing up, so for me, this was definitely a journey to get to that place where I felt I have a message to deliver and a voice that can help other people. So speaking and reaching and serving more women is definitely high on my list, and doing that through speaking and training, and then perhaps a group program. Right now I'm doing one-on-one coaching. I started writing a book, so that goal is to get that out the fall of 2018, so that's exciting. And on a personal note, I want to have more time for travel and to build in a little more fun. So I never like to lose sight of the fun factor. At one point, my life coach said, "You're working really hard, but it's, you know, when was the last time you had fun?" And I think sometimes when we are striving and we want to advance, we can lose sight of that. And it's so important when we're enjoying life and happy, that is a cascading effect through our work life and through our personal life.
That's great. And Jean, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
They can find me at jeanhaines.com, and if they want to email, it's jean@jeanhaines.com. Haines is spelled H-A-Y-N-E-S. So they can also remind them that they can also find the quiz there, and it's fun, it's quick, and it usually creates some thought-provoking ideas in your head about what might be happening in some areas where you're finding that I'm not quite satisfied with how things are going. So it may illuminate a few things that could be helpful to them in their careers.
Wonderful. Jean, thank you so much for sharing with our listeners today. You have shared some really great leadership strategies, and I know that our listeners are walking away with a new sense of how they can beat back the inner good girl.
Yes. Well, I think it's like make peace with her, because at the end of the day, she's still part of you. So honor that, but also recognize when it's, okay, that's the old me, or that may have served me when I was 10, but it really isn't working for me now.
Great, Jean. Thank you so much for being such a great guest.
Oh, thank you, Ellie. I enjoyed being on the program.
And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, God bless.